Hi, friends. I'm so happy to share that I've been invited to have my own show at newrealitytv.com. I can't even describe the excitement. Season one, episode one is out now, and new episodes will be releasing every week. Season one will highlight the art of channeling and will flow through all of the different aspects of connecting in with your guides, the clairsenses, share some behind the scenes from the channeling space, and also bring on some guests so that you can enjoy not only the messages, but if you're interested in the mechanics and the various forms of channeling, who you might be able to channel, and more, then you can join at newrealitytv.com, where you'll find the Spirit and Soul Healing Show. And I would love to hear from you there. You can leave a comment, you can subscribe for notifications, you can leave a heart if you love that episode. So I'm totally stoked, very, very excited to share season one with you. And I'm already feeling season two. So that will be in the future, of course. But I'm here to share that I'm very much appreciative of the opportunity. I'm very grateful for your feedback, for your love, for your support and excitement. Come and join me for season one, episode one, where I share more about my experience and how I started as a channeler. Episode two and three, I will have some guest channelers on. It's just amazing. So look forward to seeing you there. Links below. Welcome to the Spirit and Soul Healing Podcast. I'm Amy Sikarski, Master Energy Therapist, Channeler, Mentor, and Friend. I'm so happy to connect. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi, this is Amy. Welcome to the Spirit and Soul Healing Show. I'm so happy to invite on our guest today, Penelope Smith, and she is an interspecies communicator. And if you're feeling like, whoa, what is that? Well, we're excited to share. Welcome, Penelope.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I am so happy. I've been looking forward to our conversation. And this topic, what you specialize in, is really dear to my heart. So for those who are interested, it's also known as animal communication, right? Yes. Okay. And so I've had animal family members my whole life from birth. And now we have five that are with us. And it's just, you know, it warms my heart and to be able to connect with somebody who has such a strong connection and specializes in this work and helping others make that connection. I'm really delighted to have you on today. I'm wondering, when did it all start for you?
Well, I've communicated with animals my whole life. There was never a time when I did not telepathically communicate. I always recognized them as fellow beings, as souls with just different costumes. Yeah. And so we just had great relationships. I'd sit in the park and birds would come to me and insects and snakes, and I would just communicate with them. And I didn't listen to the people who told me it was just my imagination, which everybody did, of course, and particularly at that time. And 50 years ago, or, you know, no longer than that. I mean, of course, I started professionally 50 years ago, but all my life, we're talking about very early on. And so I just didn't listen to them because the animals were my friends. And I just did not want to betray them. I just went, you know, I'll just keep it to myself. You know, when kids found out about it, they made fun of me. So I said, you know, I don't need this. I can just keep it to myself because it's such a treasure to be with animals and understand them and us have this deep connection. I said, I don't have to give this up for humans.
Right. Oh, I can feel the depth of this. I really can feel it. I have some connections in this way with animals, but also with the trees, you know, yes. Like with elements and nature. And it's so special that it's almost sad when people can't take a moment to even fathom that this could be a reality because they're missing out, you know?
Well, it's a cause of mental illness in our culture that people are disconnected from all the rest of nature. So the animals, the plants, the mountains, the rivers, the nature spirits, you name it. If you're disconnected from all that, you don't have the support. We humans need all the support we can get. We have a difficult journey. It is not easy being human. And so we've been placed in a position where, like the indigenous people say, you know, the animals are our guides. They're our guardians. You know, the mountains, the rivers, our supporters. It's a whole different outlook than this little human who's running around trying to take care of themselves and is isolated. Whereas again, the indigenous, and again, it's more my tradition, is this connection, the spiritual connection is everywhere. And so you're always supported. So you have a disappointment in life, you just go to your dog and have a nice talk, or you go outside and there's a butterfly that lands on your hand. You know, it's all there. Or you look out at the river and the river is talking to you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's a different kind of reality. And I feel very sad when people are disconnected because they don't do well. They don't thrive.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they don't have that lusciousness of life in them. And that's sad, which is why I do what I do. Reconnect, get it back.
Love it. Love it. Yes. Oh my gosh. There's so many questions I have, and I can just feel all of the beautiful energy coming in through your message. And I mean, when I think how long you've been bringing light and helping others connect and sharing this beautiful aspect of our space here on earth, you know, our consciousness and how we connect with spirit and what it means to be a human, it really makes me smile of all the lives that you've touched. So did you, like, how did you start working with the public? You know what I mean? Especially 50
yeah,
years
sure.
ago.
You know, I, as I said, I never lost my ability to telepathically communicate. My mission, I was always very clear on my mission and who I was and what I was here for. I was here to save the world, you know, as a little girl. As a little girl, that's how I phrased it. I meant save the world, you know, and then it morphed. The words morphed into, you know, helping people to wake up, helping people to realize who they are, you know, and I became a spiritual counselor for people. I saw that as a way to help people to awaken, because it took the training I had took a different approach than just the psychological types, and more of, who are you? Why are you here? How does this relate? How can you clear the traumas that stop you from fulfilling your destiny of who, you know, what you're here for? So when I was doing this work, which I really loved, and I loved helping people to awaken, then I had an opportunity. I had a cat who was sort of dropped off. A person was leaving town, and I had lived in a little apartment complex with other people. And she dropped her off. And this little cat, whose name was Peaches, she was terrified. She was terrified of everybody and everything except me. and we got along great. But, you know, when she saw other people or my roommates, she would run away. And then cats would chase her. So she'd go outside, and then cats would chase her. And one day she came back with a bloody bite on the back of her neck. So I attempted to do the usual physical kind of healing, you know, the normal things you would do to clean it up. But she kept scratching at it and opening it up. And no matter what I did, the wound got bigger and bigger. So I said, well, I'm just going to apply the counseling I know that helps people with traumas to her. Because I could, of course, telepathically communicate with her. Yeah. So I sat her down, or she sat down across from me, and I just started counseling her. And she showed me the all one after the other after the other. She kind of rolled all the fear of people, all the incidents of being traumatized by other cats. The world was really scary. So one thing after the other. So after she kind of rolled these things, I could feel all the energy releasing as she was talking. She just, and I guided her through as I would guide people through the traumas to make sure she would look at, you know, what was relevant to her. And after she reviewed it, she just went to sleep. Maybe it was a 20-minute session. I don't remember, 20 minutes, half, no more than a half an hour. She just went to sleep and I didn't know what was going to happen. Well, the next day, the next morning, we both, you know, went to sleep. And the next morning, her wound was already starting to close. I mean, it was very rapid. And the amazing thing is that Peaches was a different cat. She now, my roommates thought I had slipped in a different cat. She went up to them. She jumped on their lap. She purred. She rubbed up against them. Everybody's going, oh, what? What did you do with Peaches? So I just told them they were also in the counseling center I worked in. And then I just told them what I did. And they said, wow, what a change. So after that, she wasn't afraid of cats anymore. So when she went out, she didn't attract cats attacking her. She didn't have that fear. So her then the thing was, her hair was also falling out. She was scratching so much and she was so tense about it. Her hair was falling out. Well, everything healed up. It was so fast. It was like in about a week, her hair grew back, her wound healed. She was really happy. I mean, it was quite amazing. And I went, whoa, this is incredible. People take hours and hours and hours, you know, to clear up a traumas like that. I mean, this is a whole lifetime of traumas for her.
Yeah.
I said, wow, this is amazing. So I thought, well, I'll just experiment with this. You know, I loved animals. And I said, I'll just start doing this with different animals. So people started coming to me. They heard about what I was doing. And I found that it worked this way with every animal. It was amazing, whatever the problem was. So if it was a behavior problem, we could work with that, either counseling or just talking to them about it and getting their agreement on things and helping them to understand how humans live and whatever it was. So then I learned, as time went on, I learned other healing methods. I did besides the spiritual counseling, I did body work with people. I learned different ways of healing, nutritional counseling, and applied kinesiology at the time. And I learned different healing, and I applied them to animals, and animals always did everything faster. It was right. Easy with them. Yeah. If people, you know, you had explained things, their minds got in the way, their mental barriers got in the way. But with animals, it was just like, oh, this feels good. Oh, great. And they'd let go, you know, and it was just quite amazing. So then eventually, I mean, I did a lot of experimenting with it to make sure. I'm not going to charge anybody for this till I know that it's valid. And then I started charging people, and then people wanted me to teach them. I said, it's a natural ability. You just get shut down because everybody tells you it's your imagination. Nobody encourages intuition, you know, and in the society, verbal is all there is. And everybody thinks humans are intelligent and animals aren't. And, you know, of course, this has changed quite a bit, but over the years, but this is in the early 1970s. And so then I began teaching people. I started doing, but you know, at first I thought people wanted me to teach them. I said, how can I teach them something that is natural? I mean, what is there to teach? You know, so I kind of broke it down. I kind of looked at it and I go, well, people are very analytical. They need steps. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew this was just a natural thing. You just do it. But right. I can't just tell people, hey, just do it, you know? And so I broke it down into steps. It's all in my book, Animal Talk. And I broke it down, and people found if they could follow steps that seemed logical on how to communicate, how to send it over, how to receive it, they could start somewhere. And then over the years, you know, people wanted me to write it down. So I wrote my book, and then I kept teaching. Then we did more courses, and I kept appearing on the media. You know, those were obviously pre-internet days. And I just appeared on a lot of TV, radio, media, newspaper, magazines. I just jumped around a lot, and I did lectures, a lot of lectures to dog clubs, cat clubs, horse clubs, you name it, any kind of animal. So I just wanted to get it out there. And my approach was education. There were a few other people at the time, and we were all in California, who were doing this, but they didn't focus on education. They were doing consultations. So was I. But I said, you know, we need to wake people up. I mean, that was my talking to myself. We need to wake people up. This is a spiritual journey. This is what happens with people when they open up to their animals being spiritual beings. They start to realize, oh, so a spiritual being. And oh, you know, if the animals are this conscious, well, maybe I am too. You know, it was quite amazing what happened to people. And I went, okay, I'm shifting. So I gradually shifted over from my work with human counseling. And I shifted over because I saw that people were waking up very quickly through their animals, because they love their animals. So they were open. Their hearts were open. And, you know, and people would ask me things like, you mean they can make decisions? You mean they think about these things? And I would go, oh my God, you know, but I knew this was all new to everybody.
Yeah.
Animals make decisions. They think, of course, the scientific world was way, way behind, you know, was animals are automatons. And, you know, it's all what they called instinct, as if humans don't have instincts. You know, I mean, it was so bizarre to me.
Right.
So, everybody has instincts. We all have bodies. We all have different programs. We're all here to do different things. I mean, that's logical. And we all can feel, we all can think, we all are on a spiritual journey. We're all making our choices. But people didn't apply this to animals. They thought of animals, even animal lovers, thought of animals as lesser beings. And then I'd go to spiritual groups, and some of them were the worst of all. You know, the metaphysical groups, they were like, humans are something separate. They are far superior. And the rest is all pretty much unconscious. You know, this is still, some people have this attitude today. Even some of the spiritual teachers of today have the idea that humans are something more advanced, more special, and animals, mountains, rivers, all the rest of life is less. And I have to wake them up too. But I went to the metaphysical groups, and they would just go, what you're saying? They too have spiritual paths. I said, yep. And they're here to enlighten you. And they would be like, what? And I said, well, look at it. All the things you need to learn. Just look at your cat. Who's the meditation master? And who's the love master? Go to your dog, you know, and go to the rivers. How do you feel when you sit by a river? How do you feel when you go in the forest? The trees are taking care of you. They're communicating with you, you know, and they're going, oh my gosh. Because again, the human methodologies, spiritual methodologies were, it's all about humans.
Wow.
And so it's come a long way. I mean, we're talking, you know, in 50 years.
Yeah.
But I was very responsible for this, because I shifted the spiritual people into a allness, you know, encompassing all of life, rather than just a narrow human viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And I also worked on the people who, you know, they were animal lovers, but they had no idea of their own consciousness or the animal's consciousness. So, you know, it was all about waking them up. And I was very excited about it. I thought, wow, this is just fantastic. I can do all this awakening of people through all the other species. And then now it's like second nature. I mean, I trained some of the first people, and they went out, of course. Now that's why people call me the grandmother of interspecies communication, because there's generations now. I mean, really, I'm a great grandmother and probably great grandmother now, because there's a lot of generations of people I trained, they trained others. And then many people just woke up, you know how it is with the morphogenetic field, because it was out there. And people were learning it. More and more people would just wake up to this. And then they'd hear about me and they go, oh God, I thought I was the only one. You know, and it would still happen years later, even after the internet. People in the 90s and 2000s, they thought they were the first people. I have some people who say, oh, well, I had to learn this on my own. I said, you realize at that time there were hundreds of animal communicators? You know, yeah. I trained them. I had Species Link, the quarterly journal out for, you know, since 1990. And people were writing all about their experiences. I mean, hundreds of animal communicators. And here they thought they were the only one. And I'm going, well, something must have been wrong with your internet connection. You know, but I know search engines weren't as good then either. Websites didn't really get started till what, 1995. Mm-hmm. And search engines didn't come till, you know, later. So yeah. I know it was not easy for people to find, but it's amazing how many people found out about it. But of course I went on a lot of media.
Yeah.
And yeah. So, you know, that's how people found out about things, through the newspapers, through the magazines. They read an article. They came to my courses. Mm-hmm. They wanted consultations, and I was going to clubs. So, you know, the horse people would then tell the other horse people, and the dog people would tell the other dog people. So I was seeing this kind of dog club and that kind of dog, you know, so you just had to get out there. I did a lot of footwork, you know, not you sit in your chair and look at a screen, but
right.
I mean, I ran around the world, you know, teaching and reaching people and dealing with these media people who were, you know, I mean, it was really a mockery at that time. You know, they were looking at ways to mock you.
Right.
You know, not to find out what you was going on, but ways to put you down, you know. But I got around it, you know. I mean, as a good speaker, and I just got around it. I said, you know, no matter how much they twist it afterwards, because they do.
Yeah.
I got out and people called me. They called and they said, do you teach? You know, can I go to a course? You know, and again, it was all in person then. And, you know, I was running around here and there. So, and so were my students, you know, when I got people trained. And then there were other people popping up, as I said, you know, it kind of like popcorn, it popped up around. And then people more and more, there was more and more out there. Till now, I mean, it's like, whoa, 50 some years later from when I started, it's an entire different ballgame.
Yeah. Yeah. And the consciousness has changed because hearing the stories at the beginning, how people felt there was that hierarchy. I'm like, oh, wow. I guess, you know, I came a couple generations after all of that. So I was like, I missed that.
Oh, it's very, very different. It was really, really different. It was this idea that humans were very divorced, but again, this is still, you get still some very famous spiritual teachers who still think that because they don't communicate with animals. See, if you don't communicate with another being, how can you know anything about them?
Exactly.
You know, it's just like with different races, different religions, different sexuality. If people don't communicate with them, whoever they think is them,
right,
then they don't understand them. So I go, how could you know unless you actually sat down and communicated with a dog? Or a mountain or a tree. How could you know? Mm-hmm. Where is your data coming from? Your data is coming from human ideas.
Yeah.
And so then I just go, well, have a few communications. Start with a whale, and you will be so shifted out of your idea that humans are superior. You know, once you communicate with the masters on this planet, you just go, you know, wow, I just didn't know. And I said, yeah, you didn't know. I mean, that was the whole point. We needed even more education. But there's so many people now open, and there's so many people doing, and there's thousands of animal communicators all over the planet now. And many of them trained with people who trained with me. Many of them use my publications. I mean, I had a laugh. Recently, someone put on, you know, how people put these marketing things. I have the secrets to animal communication, or I have the secrets, you know, and whenever you say secrets, of course, then you have to see what it is. And I thought, well, what the heck? I'll do the link and see what these secrets are. And it was straight from my book.
Oh my gosh.
And I go, well, I never kept it secret. So, you know, I'm quite happy with people using this. And people basically all over the world are teaching things that are very similar to what I first started teaching and continue to teach because they're still relevant today. So, of course, people have added in their own ways of doing things, which is wonderful. Mm-hmm. But I find that the foundations of how it works is the same. Yeah. And so it still works and people are still applying it. And I'm very happy about that.
I love it. Yes. It's a huge shift in consciousness for all of us. And I mean, when you first were talking about how it used to be, and of course you say there's pockets of teachers, practitioners now that still feel that way. But I think to my experiences, and I get so humbled by nature and by the different species and how much we can learn from them. And to feel that there's that, like that we would be superior sometimes. I'm like, oh, I think it might be backwards.
Yeah. Like, well, you know how they have the triangle of humans are at the top and then all the other species are in the triangle and toward the bottom. And I go, you know, the triangle itself is good because what it shows, all the other species are supporting humans. And without all those other species and beings, and we're talking about life forms, all of life on Earth, humans would collapse. They would fall down. So actually the triangle isn't about the humans being superior and being at the top. It's about they need the support of everybody else, including microbes, obviously, including the air, the elements, you know, the trees, you name it. Yeah, if you want to say below, but you know, there's no below. It's a matter of that we're all in this great, amazing continuum of connection with each other. And so, yeah, if you want to look at it that way, I say, yeah, that's a way you can look at the triangle. And you really, really, they are the most, need the most support. And without that support, you see what happens to people. Look at our world today.
Yeah.
See people going crazy. You see people emphasizing their dark qualities rather than the goodness. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you go into nature, as they point out over and over again, you calm down, you feel refreshed. You feel like, oh, wow, life is good. Well, you absolutely have to have that as a human, as your background force, or you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen it happen with people. I mean, I counseled a lot of people and I've seen it happen with people where they lose that connection and they just feel so alone and they feel so miserable. Mm. You know, just insert a dog into the scene or insert a tree into the scene and have people connect and everything changes.
Yeah, I was going to say it opens it up completely. And there's such a great quality for those who maybe like they grew up in a family that didn't have, you know, a pet. Even the word pet to me feels kind of funny because there are family members.
Use that word.
Yeah. I'm like, what do I call their little babies? I call them our fur babies. Yeah. They're like our little ones. So even our little ones that we have here, I just love them so much, but some people don't have that when they grow up. So they don't have this connection. And so if you introduce maybe what would we feel be typical, like a cat or a dog, that's going to open up a whole new world of having a relationship, having a heart space connection, and really feeling like, oh, wow, something inside of me is activated. You know, it's like this can make
alive,
a whole shift.
Coming alive. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coming alive. And so there's this aspect where, you know, all of them, everybody, like a human as well, have different personalities. And I think you mentioned this maybe before we popped and before we hit record. I can't remember if we hit record or not, but we were just talking about how they can guide us through life. And I feel like, in fact, I know it's not a feeling, it's a knowing that a few of my cats and dogs have been with me in other lifetimes and are here as protectors and guides. And this is their outfit that they're in and we're doing it again.
It's very, very special. And when people realize that, when they start to realize what is the relationship that you have And they actually look at their animal friend and see that spiritual connection. Then they start to know, oh my gosh, I wouldn't have made it without this dog or this horse or this bird. I wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
You know, they've just supported me. Then people start to realize, okay, they've also been giving you clues, you know, on what you need to do. And when you're off track, you know, I mean, I've done consultations where the animal is just not cooperating because the person has gone off track and the person isn't listening. And then the animal says, okay, if you pay attention to this, then everything will change. And sure enough, it does.
Yeah.
So it's magic. It's really
it
magical.
Really is. Yeah. Yes. and you bring through this other thought like that I'm having to touch on is that I'm sure you have people come to you to communicate for everyday things, like maybe a struggle or a challenge or to figure out, or maybe just curiosity, you know, what did they think? Are they happy? And do they like their food? You know, all of that. But then also it can be the deep spiritual conversations. Do you have like an example, or does it surprise people sometimes if it takes it from like, oh, I came in to see why my dog gets up at night and wanders around, you know, and then like, it seems like it's something about this reality, but it actually becomes something spiritual.
I'll tell you one of my favorite stories. You'll love this.
Okay.
It's so aligned with all your people. So this woman called me because her cat, who she loved dearly, was every time she came in the door, her cat would jump up on the refrigerator and she wouldn't come down. And before that, they had a very affectionate relationship. Her cat greeted her and she wouldn't come down. And so she called me because she was so distraught at that her cat was running away from her and was on the refrigerator. So this was the days when I did consultations in person. I did a lot of consultations in person. And I knew nothing about the woman. I just went to her home and sure enough, there's a cat on the refrigerator. So we sat down and I communicated with the cat and I said, well, what can you tell me about this? You know, what's going on? And the cat just, they generally just completely open up to me. And also because I have the background in knowing what is possible, they just open up to all possibilities. Whereas if a person did not know who animals are and did not know the possibilities, the animal would not necessarily open up because the person isn't ready for that. So this cat says to me, my person was going to meditation classes and then she stopped. And until she goes back to her meditation classes, I'm not coming down from the refrigerator. And so I told the person that this is what the cat told me. And she said, well, yeah, you know, I got my boss offered me some overtime. They needed overtime and I did the overtime and made extra money. I was really happy about it. So when the overtime was done, I asked if I could continue because she started to get into, oh, I got more money. This is really good. Well, of course, she did her meditation classes at night. Well, there was no more in the evening to do her meditation classes. And so she stopped and she looked at me and she, you know, she's looking at her cat and she's going, yep, I haven't gone to meditation classes in months now. And yes, my cat started soon after I stopped going. And I said, well, if you want to have a relationship with your cat again, then you better get on your spiritual path here and do your meditation classes. And she said, yeah, I guess so. I got too much into, you know, the making money and instead of doing what I'm here to do. And so I said, well, are you going to go back now? And she said, yeah, I realized that that's what I needed. Of course, her cat is her spiritual teacher. So as soon as she said that she would guarantee she would go back to her, the cat came down from the refrigerator first, came into my lap and thanked me and then went over to her person.
I love it.
I mean, what's more graphic than this? Because I knew nothing of the woman's background, knew nothing about her work or meditation classes or anything. And it was just what the cat told me. And then the person confirmed, and of course it resolved the situation. And it's a very, it's not an uncommon thing that your animal friends are looking after you. They want you to be in a good space. They oftentimes, as you mentioned, you recognize animals from life to life, you know, that they come back to you because they want to take care of you. You know, we go on soul journeys from life to life, oftentimes with a big group of people, beings, you know, and they may appear as human and they may not. They may appear in other ways. And we go on these journeys together to support each other. And we may meet beings in many lifetimes, not necessarily every lifetime, because there's a lot of beings we can connect with. But it's quite a remarkable thing. And the proof is that things change. Behavior changes. Animals visibly change right before your very eyes. And, you know, I've been doing this type of work since the 70s, you know, doing it professionally. And I just go, it's happened over and over and over again. And other times it may be quite mundane. It's, you know, a matter of, oh, this dog doesn't get along with this dog. And it's because you're doing this. Yeah. And now you need to shift this and you need to shift the environment. And the dogs go, yeah, yeah, we want it this way. And I don't want her always going to that dog first. And, you know, it might be very mundane, but we're talking about emotions and attention and energy. Very, very important in our relationships. And animals are really sensitive to changes in energy. Your energy and what's happening with you. I mean, you know, the cat on the refrigerator, she knew exactly what was happening. She's going, well, the person's not listening to me. This is the way she'll listen. I'll just deprive her of all affection.
In a real drastic way too, getting up where she can't, you know, reach
and
me.
With other animals, it may be they're peeing on your clothes. You know, they're showing you there's something amiss. There's something you're not getting. And you find out and it changes. And sometimes the people have to change what it is they're doing in their lives, like I've mentioned in these instances. And other times it's a matter of adjusting for what the animal's needs are, you know, because we bring animals into our human environments.
Yeah.
So they have to make a lot of adjustments. So there's cats who never want to see each other. You know, just like we have people that we never want to see. We wouldn't live with them. No, we put them together and they go, I don't get along with this cat. I need my own room. I need my own space. You have to honor that. You know, sometimes you think, well, just fix it the way I want it. You know, they have a human orientation. I want this problem fixed. I want all the cats to get along. Well, I'm sorry. They're not going to get along. No. You have to adjust the environment for them. This is not what they want. This is not what they came here for. And this is what you need to do.
Yep. Yeah. We've been there. They'll let you know.
Well, I have too. You know, I mean, I have cats who don't get along. And so we make arrangements, space arrangements.
Right.
You know, but other times it's a matter of there was an upset and you can work on the upset and clear it. And it just depends what's going on. You find out, you ask the right questions. You listen deeply to the animals so they know that you really take them seriously. You really respect them. And then you'll see people change. You know, they go, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't realize I was doing this, or I didn't realize that the animal thought this, or, you know, so it's bringing enlightenment on what's going on, you know, and we need to get along on this earth with a lot of different beings. And so there's a lot of adjustments that have to be made, you know, and humans often think, well, I don't need to make the adjustment. It's the lower beings that make the adjustments. And well, they aren't lower beings.
We're all living
we're
in that.
Family we're, all here. Of, yeah. We're in it together. And in fact, many of them are so much more aware. I mean, if you don't cater to them, it's your misdoing. You know, if you don't, you know, give them what they need, then you're not taking care of them and yourself the way you need to. Yeah, it's an amazing thing. I mean, the journeys people have with their animal friends, it's beautiful.
It is. It's so rewarding. It really is. So, do you have people that request, like, have you do you tune into the animal spirits after, or even, interspecies spirits after they leave?
Of course, of course. Yeah, and it's a very common, I mean, I do seminars on communicating with animals after they've gone on, and I have a book, Animals and Spirit, and teach people how to be connected. It isn't that you're not connected, you're always connected. It doesn't matter what form you have or whether you've left your form, you're always connected, especially with your friends. It's a matter of people disconnecting. When they disconnect in their minds, then they lose the heart and soul connection. So they go, oh, this is terrible. They died. Well, everybody's gonna die. And it's a shock and a loss to us who are left here on earth. But the point is that we need to learn how to deal with it in the best way. And the best way really is to stay in touch. You stay in touch with your animal friend. You find out how it was for them. People run such guilt trips on themselves. They go, oh, I could have done more if only I had done this, or if I'd taken them to a different vet, or if I had, blah, blah, blah. And the animals are going, wow, this is a trip. Man, I am having such a great time, and I'm looking over. Can you feel my blessings and my love? And you help people to tune into the blessings and the love. It helps a great deal. We still have to go through our grief. We still have to go through our changes. That's part of our growth. And there's no getting around it. There's shocks and there's loss here on earth. That's the way it is. But we can make it a lot easier on ourselves by not browbeating ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's
And
so
when you
important.
hear from the animals, then you feel their expansion, you feel their joy, you feel their beauty, you feel them taking care of you. Oh my gosh, I've had so many animal friends who have gone on, and they're all taking care of me.
Oh, I love that you say that because one of ours has transitioned, and I even still said to you, we have five, but only four in physical. And I feel him around all the time. And there was another lovey that we had years before she transitioned. So I asked her one day, I was like, is he with you? And they were not friends here on earth. And she looked at me with her sassy attitude and she's like, I didn't like him when I was with you all. We're not hanging out on the other side either. I was like, I just laughed so hard. I was like, okay, I know I'm not making this up because I would not expect that. And yeah, but I have felt our little guy around just this weekend. And my husband and I, we talk about him like he's still around. And you just, I feel like, confirmed when you were saying they bless and they watch over you. And I really feel that. I think that that reality, like that connection really brings it home to the spiritual space and opening us to recognize, okay, there's so much more than what we can see. There's so much more than what is popular in the human life.
Let me give you a lovely example. I know you'll just love it. That just happened this morning. So my previous dog, Pepito, was a little long-haired Chihuahua, a little rescued long-haired Chihuahua, and he attended all the classes, and he loved people, and they loved him, and he would. As I was getting ready for our Zoom meetings, I'd do my last minute going to the bathroom, and I'd have the office door open, and he'd say, it's about to start, hurry up. And he'd look at me and he'd say, hurry up. I said, just a second, Pepito. I'm just getting it together. I'll be right there. And he'd wait, and then he'd relax. I came in, closed the door. I said, fine, I'm going on the computer now. It's all right. And then he'd just go to sleep, and just be there. Okay, so we had departure. He departed last summer, and very suddenly. And he came back. And he is now Pico, who is another little rescue dog. He came as a puppy. I never thought at this age in my life that I'd be raising. But he's now over 7 months old now. But anyway, he has attended a number of these classes, even as a puppy, you know, where he got it all. I go, okay, now we've done our exercise time, you know, and puppies have their wild play times, and you can't get around that. You have to, there are times where I said, okay, we're going to do this a little early because I've got a Zoom meeting. We've got a class. People are waiting. I said, you're going to have to be quiet. I know this is your active time, but you know, once I go in the room, you got to be quiet. So he's been just like a total jewel. My last class, it was way out of sync with his exercise time, and it was his afternoon exercise time, and I couldn't make up for it. And I said, are you going to be okay, Pico? And he says, well, yeah, I'm a little bit, you know, it's our playtime. I said, so I told everybody at the beginning of the class about it. And I said, you may see him walking around the room. Usually he's just sleeping like he is now. And I said, you may see him. And I looked at the class afterwards, the recording, and I didn't even know while I was teaching, Pico was wandering around the room, but he didn't disrupt anything. He just looked around, and it was so adorable. I mean, very calm, very together, but you know, it was obvious that it was not his sleep time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this morning, just before our call, we're getting ready, and he had his playtime, and it's synchronized. It's a good time because this is normally his nap time, afternoon nap time. But he's knowing we're getting ready. I'm getting the room ready, and he's getting ready. So he did something that he has not done yet as Pico, that he did as Pepito. I went to do my last going to the bathroom. I opened the door, went down the hall, and he was just waiting here. And he did the exact same thing. He sat and he looked at me, and I came out of the bathroom, and he said, yeah, come on, it's only a minute. It's only a minute now. I said, I know, I got it, Pico. Thank you. But he looked exactly like he did his last lifetime. The exact same thing. And he said the exact same thing. So it was just, I just went like this. And we're talking, this is from a little puppy, but you see, from the beginning, all the wisdom of Pepito and all the calmness. And obviously we were very, very connected. And of course he guided me to go get him and where to get him.
Yeah.
But that was the first time he did that. And I just went, oh my goodness. So I get to tell you about that.
Oh, it makes my heart smile. I'm so happy. Yes, that's so special.
Yeah, see, he's taking care of all of us. He knows what's going on. He immediately settles in as soon as I have a class or a call like this. And he just goes, okay, it's my time. He'll go to my knee and he'll go, I'm getting a little bit antsy. And I just let him know telepathically. I don't even look down at him, because the people just let him know, okay, right now, afterwards, we'll get to play, not right now. Amazing. And he just goes and takes care of himself and chews on his little toy and then goes to sleep.
Oh, it's so cute. It's so cute. Oh my gosh. When you were just talking about the telepathic connection, I have a question about that. Do most of the interspecies beings try and make a connection, or can they tell if we're receptive or not? Do they sometimes not even try because they think we're not receptive?
Yeah, they know when you're receptive, but some will try anyway. Like a lot of people will notice that their animals stare at them. Yes. You know, I used to ask this question years ago, at every lecture. I said, do your animals stare at you? And they go, oh yeah, they stare at me all the time. I said, they're trying to communicate with you and you're not getting it.
Yes.
So they keep staring and staring, so they'll keep trying, but they also know your awareness level. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to communicate to you in ways or about things that you aren't ready for. You're not open to it. So even if they tried, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah.
But when people start to realize there's many possibilities and it's an open field and I'm just going to listen. And then suddenly, like you discovered with your cats who had gone on.
Yeah.
Telling you something you never knew before.
Right. Yeah. I was
and
like, okay.
So you just go, okay. And that's one of the sure signs of it being a true communication is it surprises you. So, that isn't something I would think at all, you know, and here they are enlightening me on what's going on with them.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, the more receptive you are, the more you're going to receive.
Okay.
The more you think or you tell yourself, no, I can't do this. No, I can't do this. No, I'm not getting anything. As soon as you say those things, you've created a wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wall. It's a barrier. Yeah. You need to just be open and know, just like I'm talking with you now, it's the same thing. I'm talking with another spiritual being.
Yes.
I'm talking with a fellow being. We're connected, just like you and I are connected right now. It's the same with your animal friend. So then you learn how to listen,
mm-hmm.
how to open and honor your telepathic sensing, your intuitive sensing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to that line of thought, do you also work long distance, you know, like by phone or just tune in meditation? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Telepathy is not dependent on distance.
Mm-hmm.
So you can communicate to anybody anywhere in this world or beyond this world.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do you find, like, I think it would be kind of enjoyable to go to make a connection and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, somebody's here wanting to talk to me. You know, and be surprised. Do you get that a lot where they're surprised?
Well, the thing is, I don't communicate with anybody unless I'm called to.
Uh-huh.
I'm not just randomly communicating to. So when a person asks me to communicate with their animal, they have a line in with their animal. The animal already knows the person wants help with the situation. So they're already ready.
Yeah.
You know, they already know, and they already are connected with me.
They're, yes,
know,
okay.
We readily communicate. There are animals that have been surprised that a human could communicate, that a human could listen.
Wow.
No, I mean, I had horses who said to me, wow, an intelligent human. Wow, what a surprise. Wow, somebody who listens, somebody who gets it.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. You know, most of them just walk around very unconscious. They walk right by, you say something to them, and they just keep walking. You know, they're so unconscious. So mm-hmm. I've had animals tell me that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that makes me smile. See, they're just so full of wisdom and with it quite a bit more than we are.
And they're so much fun, you know. I mean, you know, as animal lovers, all animal lovers know, when you love an animal, it opens a different world to you. It's the world of really of your innocence before your mind gets all wrapped up and starts making the loops of criticism and everything else of yourself. It's the world of you're open.
Mm-hmm.
To love, to fun, to enjoyment. I mean, to sitting and watch the birds. You know, my dog and I, we sit together and watch the birds. You know, he's going like this and like this. And I'm going, whoa, look at that bird. Wow. And he's going, wow, look at that. And, you know, it's just fun.
That is fun. That's really fun. Yeah. I can see, like, there's so much to be shared and the experiences to be had when you open to the telepathic communication. And you have a class coming up about telepathic communication with interdimensional. That's my role. I guess it could be too. Interspecies. Yeah. Beautiful beings. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Sure.
Okay.
I've been teaching with the Shift Network. And I'm going to be doing a very big program, a certification program in interspecies telepathic communication. And the thing is that even if you're a beginner, you get a foundation course along with it. And we're launching the program on May 10th. And you can find out, it will give you a whole introduction, including an exercise, including seeing how it works to the whole aspect of telepathically communicating with animals and opening to your own ability and then taking it further. You know, for people who really want to go deep, this is a 6-month program. It's very deep for both your own spiritual growth and to help others. You know, for people who want to help in their own professions, or they want to become an animal communicator, or they just want to help out at shelters, or however they want to do this, it's a tremendous leap in growth. Because animal communication is a spiritual journey. It takes you very, very deep in what you're here for, what life is about. Who are all these trillions of beings on the planet who we can communicate with, and that maybe we aren't doing that right now? So program is going to be available on May 10th, coming up very soon. And you can read about it on my website, on my events page, animaltalk.net. So yeah, I'm excited about the program. And even if you can't make the live release of it, you can see the recording and get to know what this is all about. Mm-hmm. And then see if you want to open further to your own ability. It's not for everybody. Not everybody really wants to put the time into this. But to me, it's like, wow, who wouldn't want to communicate with all the rest of the beings on the planet?
Yeah, it's life-changing. If you don't have that connection and then you develop it, it is a completely different reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
opening up to something that is deep within you and has always been there and has just been covered up mm-hmm. by your socialization into believing that it doesn't exist.
Mm. Yeah, that's it exactly. Yes. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was such a joy to connect and for all of the fascinating stories, the shares that you were sharing with us. I just loved our conversation. And thank you, everybody. So if you want to connect with Penelope, and her information for her website and class will be below in the links and the description. And I want to thank you so much for joining us on the Spirit and Soul Healing Podcast. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Hi friends, I hope you are enjoying the podcast. This episode is brought to you in part by my school, spiritschoolonline.com, where I share guided energy sessions, informative group experiences, classes in energy therapy and readings, meditations, and more. If you're looking for a community and support to assist you in your awakening and spiritual practice, I would love to support you. Check out Spirit School today.